Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the turn, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's only her, a new point, calling with your new point. But add to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things here. We been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who we been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like Collective Minds.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. Welcome back. This is Brother Kev.
This is Rigel in the building.
What up, everybody?
It's your brother Mufasa Ra.
That's right, and we are Collective Minds Radio, and we back again for another week. Hopefully to, share some constructive dialogue with the family, talk about a few things, chop it up, see what's good. But before we get started, as always, how was y'all week this week, and do y'all have any announcements for us?
Once again, another wonderful week. I'm so happy to be able to be in the state of mind to acknowledge that this is a wonderful week. You know, I'm still here, and that's, that means a lot. So I think no real big announcements. Just want to give a couple of birthday shout-outs. You know, there's I don't know if we acknowledged this last week or not, but, what season is this? This is what, Virgos or something?
Yeah, Virgo season. Going about to head into Libra
season. We have so many Virgos. Oh, my. There's so many Virgos around in the family, especially.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Virgos.
You guys are deep.
Yes, indeed.
You're not a Virgo. But
right, but I have, plenty in the family.
I'm glad to be the Gemini of the family, though. But no announcements. Just encourage everybody again to just be thankful. You know, as long as you're here, like I said, you know, don't take anything for granted, or life for granted, or anyone. You know, just don't take things for granted, basically. You know, and you know, with that being said, just be at peace. And everybody have things that they need to work on. So if it's something that you want to work on, just look at it like that. You know, we don't have to beat ourselves up about things. And just encouraging everybody to stay strong and stay positive.
That's what's up.
That's right. We fought some ride. What about you?
Hey, you know, it's been a beautiful weekend for me. Beautiful week. I made some investments into the Cigarillo Wrap Company, and I've made a small fortune. I didn't tell you guys that. I figured I'd share it with you today.
Okay.
I invested in the Cigarillo Wrap Company, and already I've made a small fortune enough to fuel a small army.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Okay, well, I'll be right
puffing
over after the show.
Keep rolling up. Keep rolling up, all you people. Keep blazing. But on the real, hey, everything been good for me. You know what I'm saying? It's a pleasure to be with my brother and my sister today again to chop it up. It's always a good time to stimulate my mind with y'all. So let's just make
indeed.
It do what it do.
That's right. And just real quick, shout out to the family in North Carolina that been going through the hurricane this past week. You know, so just shout out to the family. Hope everybody out there staying safe and doing what they got to do to avoid any issues. Hope the power will get back on for everybody out there. And salute to y'all. Like Rigel said earlier, salute to all the Virgos again. And, yeah, it's been a good week. You know, we just been doing our thing. I had my daughter's birthday this past week. So happy birthday to the girls.
Happy birthday.
They turned five. So, like she said, there's a lot of Virgos in the family. And, you know, happy birthday. And we wish them many more. You dig? So that's what's up. So, yeah, this Collective Minds Radio.
Another
family,
one.
This is not a spectator sport. So we need y'all to give us a call and join the dialogue. The number is 929-477-1697. And this week we got an interesting topic because I think the three R's get the most response from the listeners. And the three R's are religion, relationships, a.k.a. sex, and race. So today we are talking about race, racism, and things of that nature. The specific question is, do you all believe that racism can be solved if black and white people just got to know each other better? Basically, if we just, you know, improved our relationship with each other, got to know each other, do you think that racism can be solved? And so, yeah, we just putting that out there, y'all. Give us a call. It should get pretty interesting. We going to talk about, you know, interracial relationships. We going to talk about, you know, a few things as it deals with race. And how, you know, black and white people interact. So give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Now, which one of y'all want to tackle this one first? We can go on and get into it.
I
want to go first on this one.
I do have a small opinion. You know, I guess
tell
I
us what.
Hear it now.
Tell us
okay.
How you feel,
ladies.
How
first.
You really feel? How you really feel?
How I really feel. I know. And
ladies
it's
first.
Like it's two different ways that it can be resolved, or two different ways of looking. Actually, I'm sure it's more than that, but I'm going to address two different ways. But on an individual level, it can be resolved within an individual. Will it impact the whole race at one time? You know, in that sense, no. I mean, as far as the having a resolution or being resolved, no, not overall, but on a smaller scale, it can by individuals. Some individuals, because you're going to have, of course, some individuals that is not going to change whether they get to know you or not. That's just going to be their stand. It may not be because they don't know you, that they don't like you. It may be for some other reasons, you know, that so in that case then, no, on a larger everybody scale, but on some individuals, if they get to know you, I mean, like, they could say, you know what, I just had to get to know the black people, or black people, or however you want to look at it. So that's it. I can stop there. I don't have to go any deeper.
Okay.
Right.
Indeed.
Well, I'm gonna say no. It will not cure it. What will cure racism is if people will learn to respect each other's space, and everybody carve them out a little piece of a space in this planet. And then when you carve out that little space, learn to leave other people alone. Mind your business. Us getting to know each other, that's all cool, but it seems like as we get to know each other, a lot of us still, because, you know, racism is the belief that, you know, one's own race is superior. So some people when they deal with other races, they still come out with the assumption that their race is bigger or better than another. So, my whole time, it's cool for us to get to know each other. That's sweet, lovely. But at the end of the day, are we going to respect each other? And we can learn to respect each other. Then maybe we can get somewhere. The lack of respect for other races, to me, is a bigger issue than, you know, learning what the other race is all about. So that's how I feel about that.
Right, indeed, indeed. And, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think both of y'all made some good points on that. But, yeah, I'm leaning definitely with Mufasa, and I don't think that that's the issue with racism. You know, I don't think the issue is that we just don't know each other. You know, mm-hmm. And I kind of framed it that way because I feel like it's kind of a naive question. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Because I feel like black and white people, we do know each other. You know what I'm saying? We've been living around each other since slavery as far as America's go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know each other. Like, there's no excuse, I think, when it comes to racism and white supremacy. It's all about dominance. And what mm-hmm. I see as far as us knowing each other, I feel like the races and the white supremacists who are the most powerful that run the world, I feel like they've studied black people. And I feel like to a certain extent, you know, just generalizing, I feel like they know black people more than black people. I think the issue is black people have not taken the time to study them. You see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if we would study them, learn the tactics, learn how the system is maintained, because we're talking about a system here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like Tanya said, individually, cool. we're on the same plane and got the same amount of power, but collectively, they have more power, and I believe that is because they've studied us, and we have just not studied them enough to understand the tactics that they use to keep us in.
It is what it is.
Position. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just think that's a no, and a no. You know what I'm saying?
But, like, hey, but I wanted to add something else to this conversation, because, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the white and black dynamic. But what about the other races? Let's include, you know, Latinos, Asians. Let's include
they are included
in this conversation. So
they are included.
Do you think that Chinese people feel that they are more superior than white people, black people, you know, Latino people, vice versa? Do you think Latino people may feel that they more superior than whites, blacks, Asian people? Or is it mostly, or do y'all feel like it's mainly just the white race that feel that they are more superior than other races of people?
Right. Well, my thing is, like, with racism, the definition you gave for racism just now was good. The only part I would add is thinking your race is superior and you have the means to back it up. You see what I'm saying? You have the military or the economic resources to back up that belief. So for me, the only functional racism is racism, white supremacy, because at this point in time, they are the only group that have the means to back it up. Now, the Chinese have their system and what they do, but they are still under European or Western control to a certain extent. You see what I'm saying? They were invaded by the British. They didn't have their long wars with the British and so on and so forth. So they're still dominated by white supremacy. So like Dr. Francis Cress Wilson say, the hierarchy of races go like this. If you white, you right. If you yellow, you mellow. If you brown, you can stick around. If you black, get back. You see what I'm saying? That's pretty much how it goes. So all those other groups, when you talk about Chinese or, you know, the Asians, and you got the Latin groups, Mexicans, whoever, all those other groups are still under white supremacy. Now, they may get more benefits than a black person or a dark-skinned person, but these other races are still subject to white supremacy. Prime example, America dropped two bombs on Japan, two nuclear bombs, only two bombs to ever hit, you know, cities, hit civilian cities. So you see what I'm saying? So America, being under the white supremacist umbrella, dropped bombs on Japan to let them know what was up. So the other groups are still under white supremacy. They just may not be affected to the degree that black people are. You see what I'm saying? But they're still under the same system. And a lot of them try to align themselves with white people just so they can get, you know, those extra benefits. You see what I'm saying? Because the name of the game is keep the black people subjugated. And they recruit, like I said, they recruit Latins who could pass for white. They can recruit some Asians that can be in these white supremacist groups. So, you know, it gets deep. You know what I'm saying?
But basically, y'all feel like, I know, well, I guess most of this goes to Brother Kev. You feel that white people are the only race of people that can be racist.
Yes, yes. Right.
And you said the same thing,
now,
right?
Is it not,
that's because they can back up. Yeah, I was just going to say, they can back up their superior position. Like, for instance, if a black person say, well, I think black people are superior, and I don't like white people, or whatever, whatever, how can that black person affect a group of white people? He really can't. So it's not like black people control where white people live. You see what I'm saying? Black people don't control their
schools.
It is
what it is.
Or, you know, them being educated. So the only function of racism is white racism, because when they say they're superior, they control it by moving black people around, by educating us, by controlling industries, controlling, you know, these different controlling these resources, and they have the military backing to enforce them saying that they're superior, if that makes sense.
So it's the resources that's making them superior, and it's the because it's not just because they have control of the resources, it's because the way that they use it, the manner in which they use it. Now, if you're going to use the resources to, like Brother Kevin was saying, to harm someone or harm a group of someone, then that to me will be like definitely racism. But for instance, if they wasn't in power, if they didn't control all the resources and another group did, and they didn't run America as such or the world as such, and they actually use those resources as a tool to help all. Just do what needs to be done. It shouldn't be people starving. It shouldn't be people mistreated. It shouldn't be people, you know, and especially the way, slavery was. That was horrible, you know. But so it seems like if the resources was used, or if it was in the hands of some a fair and just, you know, group, then
right,
I think we'll be fine. Because the resources are going to be here anyway. It's how it's used. You know,
right.
If we all die off, the resources are going to be here, you know. So
Right. But people shouldn't be the thing. The problem is, I mean, you're 100% right. And the problem is the resources shouldn't be hoarded or controlled based on race. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That shouldn't be the criteria for who gets what or who doesn't get what when it comes to the resource. You see?
Absolutely what I said. But before we go to the call line, I do want to kind of touch base on video that we saw, the link that Art sent us.
Okay, that's, yeah.
Okay. So let's go to the phone.
You want to go to phone lines first, or?
No,
yeah,
you said
we go
before
to the phone
you...
lines first.
Okay.
Before you go to the phone lines, you want to talk on?
Well, we can go ahead and give a little spiel about it, then go to the phone lines about it.
Okay. Give us a call, y'all, just real quick. Give us a call. This Collective Minds Radio. This Brother Kev, Mufasa Y, and Rigel Starr. Give us a call, 929-477-1697. We are talking about race, racism, and everything in between. What are some
it is what it is.
Solve this problem? And do you think part of the problem is just white and black people just don't know each other? So give us a call. Let us know what you think, family. Now, with the video that we're talking about, it was a video that was titled, Do Black People Treat Each Other Worse Than White People? Or something to that effect. Is that right, y'all? Is that the video?
Yeah.
Was that the title or something like that?
White people treat me better than black people. That's the name. That was the
okay,
title.
Right. White people treat me better than black people. And that was coming from a black male, I believe. Now, for me, under the system of racism, white supremacy, which I believe we're under, I believe that's totally impossible. Now, on an individual level, yes, white people can't afford to be nice to you and do all those things. But when we talk about the system and we talk about as a group, there's no way that white people can treat black people worse or better than black people just based on how the things are set up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just impossible under this system. For one, black people don't have the power to control. Again, we're talking about control. We're talking about dominate. We talk about power. These are the things that is part of the system. So black people don't, we don't even at this point educate each other as a group. Like, we don't have our curriculum in schools to affect other black people. We don't determine where other black people live, you know, things like that. We don't control the resources and stuff in our own neighborhoods, and, you know, for the most part. So I just don't feel like that's very accurate. Now, I believe he's talking about individually being treated nice. And that's the thing, because we got to get out of this emotional thing and thinking about it's about being nice and who likes you and all. No, that's not even part of the system. That plays no part in it, because the racists can be nice to you. They can share resources with you, and they can still practice racism at the end of the day. Because if you're a group
that's
not
they're just going to give you a certain amount. They're not going to give you enough.
Yeah, they only going to give you a certain amount, and when they feel like that's you get more than what you deserve or what they're giving you, then it's going to be a problem. You see what
no,
I'm saying?
They
you can,
if
you
they
gotta,
think they're giving you too much, more something that can maybe overcome them, they're not going to give you that. That's what they be
there
concerned about.
They're not going to give you nothing to take away from their power. And if they feel like you're a subjugated group and they've got all the resources, yeah, they can share some with you. They can be nice to you on an individual level. But
what you think?
You know.
I think it's a false. I think that's really false because I mean, I understand where they're coming from with that, because there was a time where black people didn't want to speak to each other. We see each other in the streets. We hate to say hi to each other. You know,
right.
You go
right.
out in the white communities and everybody's high and friendly. Your neighbors come out and speak and have, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm Joe Blow, and welcome to the neighborhood, and here's some cake and cookies and pie, and you in the black neighborhood, you walk outside, look at your neighbor, and they're looking at you like, who the hell are you looking at? They're looking
right.
at you like, this fool might so,
right.
That's where that stuff comes from. But I do feel that we are getting a little bit better with that. I think as time rolls on and black people are getting more conscious and third eyes are opening, we are learning to love each other a little bit more, I would hope. That's how I feel. I feel like we're getting better with that.
Now, do you think it's just our generation that now that we are of this age, we have grown and we see things different? Maybe it's our perspective that has changed. Mm-hmm. Could that be possible?
I think
remember, we are speaking from our perspective right now. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can do about that. There's nothing we can do about it. So that's younger may say,
I was going to say, if you remember, my daughter went to work with me, and where I work is, you know, predominantly white. It's where I work at. And when she went to work with me, that was the first thing she said was, like, wow. After about 3 or 4 days, man, she was like, wow, you know, everybody's so nice and smiling. I'm not used to this. And she actually said that it was freaking her out. She's like, I am not used
okay,
to
but
people
think about,
smiling at me all the time.
But she's entering into our realm almost, because now she's been into the workforce, so she's not around kids. You know, she's judging a pretty big hunk of our generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's judged. So that's like her looking at us. And she's no, I'm not. It's just really a thought. I'm not saying it. It's just a thought that I'm just putting out there.
Because at first I was wondering what you're saying, that maybe she's seeing how adults behave, but the kids. So you're saying the younger generation of black kids and white kids won't treat each other the same way. They do speak to each other. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that it's possible that we can be judging the situation just from our perspective, but they may have a different interpretation of it. You know, because think about it. Remember, we also asked them about the guys wearing dresses and stuff. You know, the younger people, which is the new generation, they see things differently. They like, yeah, that's fine. I don't see what's wrong with it. But our generation, you know, we see it differently than them. So I was just throwing it out there. I'm not really saying.
Yeah,
that
I don't see.
Let's go to the phone call. Let's take a call. Area code 314-718. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
It's me, cuz. It's all right.
Hey.
Peace.
What's going on? Hey, we got off the subject like 3 or 4 times, man. Y'all jump from subject to subject, but I'm gonna get on the topic of what y'all saying about racism and racism being in America versus do white people like treat black people better than we treat ourselves? In some instances we do, and in some instances we don't. The whole issue is love is taught early in the early stage of growing up in adolescence. And when you teach somebody love, and that's gonna carry out all the way from the bottom to the top. That's from birth to grown up. But everything else has to be learned in that area of growing up. So when you get racism is not taught to a baby. You can put two black babies in the same room and neither one of them be racist to each other. So when they grow up in a certain environment, it has to be taught to them to be racist. That's on either side of the fence, that's black or white. So when you take that to a point to where white people treat black people,
it is what it is.
When white people treat black people better than the other one, you can say we losing in that area because we don't know how to love. You lose that love because why? You've been beat on most of your life growing up as adolescents. You know what I'm saying? You've been growing up. That's some for some people. You know what I mean? But the thing is, when you come into an area where you grew up with somebody that's white, you best believe they're going to take the side of their culture. They're going to take the side of their nature. So I don't think that white people treat black people better. I think that we all are subject at a certain point to treat each other badly. And now we're in this situation now, even at the time of we as grown-ups and the time of the era now, even with the youth that's growing up. You got to remember, man, when we had the youth, we left the youth. Did you go back and tell the youth how to get out the situation they're in? No. You went on with your life, and you can continue to be successful, but are you going back to show them how to get out of the situation?
Back.
And that's where you lose love at. And then that's where you lose the point of, I would say, you're losing the point where you have a disconnection between the older generation and the younger generation, because the younger generation ain't even looking at the older generation, because the older generation forgot about them. If you didn't forget about them, you talked about them. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to think about when you was younger and what your parents taught you. See, each household learns something different. But when you learn things
right
in the street, you learn the street.
Right, right.
You understand,
let,
you understand what I'm
you
saying?
Yeah, yeah, I got you, Carla. Let me ask you this. So do you think that black people can be racist?
Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you why. We all can be racist. And the reason why us as black people can be considered racist is because look at us and look at the Arabs. How do we treat them? How do we treat them when we go in their stores? How do they treat us?
How they treat us, right.
How do they treat us? So racism is on all sides, not just one. Racism is on all sides of the fence.
Okay,
so,
now let me ask you this. Real quick. What can black people as a group, how do we affect, let's just say, Arabs? Are we in a position where we can kick those Arab stores out of our neighborhoods?
Man, we have always been in a position to better our community. But you know why we don't
right
better our community? I'm going to tell you why we don't better our community. We don't better our community because, one, we get jealous. We have jealousy in our hearts. We have malice in our hearts. And everything is always a competition. So I cannot work with another black man because I'm going to have a competition with that black person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Arabs, Mexicans, white America, they work together. You want to know why we separate? Because that's the nature of our beast. Our beast is killing us because we don't want to work together. We have a death lock on a problem. It's called selfishness. And I'm talking about that's
right
a death lock with the black community. We don't even want to go out and help the girls in the boys' clubs, man. I was a coach in St. Louis, Missouri, at Herman Hoover Boys and Girls Club for a long time. I worked with inner-city youth at Caroline Mission, United Church Neighborhood Housing, for a long time. And and we have so many people that don't want to help these organizations to go into your own community and help your community succeed. It's ridiculous. How many athletes, how many pros or superstars or how many of them guys go out, get big, and come back and help their community for real?
Right. Now, do you think we was taught that to hate one another,
yes,
not respect each other? Right. So then that goes back to who taught us.
I'm gonna tell you how I was taught. I'm gonna break it down for you on that end too. I'm going to tell you how that was taught.
It is what it is.
I'm going to tell you. The reason the way it was taught was in the streets. It was the street mentality of, you're not better than me. I want the best Jordans. I want the best clothes, and you don't look better than me. Instead of going to your partner and say, hey, man, I see you having a hard time. You can't get them Jordans? I'm going to help you get them Jordans. That's where we lose that, and that's where the hatred with each other come in at.
Right. Now,
when you say it is what it is what it is, because we got to grow up in that area. It's all about the mindset, man, and the heart. Our mindset is stuck on one level, and our heart is stuck on another one. Our heart might want to do something, but our mind tell us no. And then we do what our mind say instead of following the heart.
Hey, I want to add something else to that dynamic. When you said about
it is what it is.
About us being racist, you know, with Arabs or whatnot. My opinion is, if we was wise, we would be racist towards them Arabs, and we would stop going into their stores and stop spending our money and be racist towards the Asian people and quit spending money in their stores. We should be racist towards ourselves and help each other out. But for some strange reason, we don't know how to do that. But we have the ability.
But
we have the ability to do it. We could. We just don't do it.
It is what it is.
Okay, so why would you be racist instead of just being a lovable person? Why we don't just go ahead and do and show the opposite to these people and treat each other the way we're supposed to be treated, do our own stores, treat the people in our own stores right, go and get our own business, go supply to our own businesses and get our
That's
own
what I'm
stuff markets right, and then when they come in, they'll know how to treat us.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't know how to treat us because they see that we are allowing the white culture to treat us badly. So when they come in, oh, them niggas, that's, you know, excuse my French, but them black people, they don't know how to treat themselves. So I'm gonna treat them the way they treat
themselves. You said it right
now,
them niggas. Because black people do know how to get along. Black people do know how to treat each other right. That's nigga behavior,
right.
The behavior that you're speaking of. So you said it right.
Yeah. So the thing is, how do we fix it?
Learning
how
to love
fix,
each other.
How, okay. And so who's going to teach that love? Who's going to teach that love? It's got to come from somewhere. It's got to. Because this younger generation, man, in St. Louis, Missouri, they're killing each other off at a rapid pace, at a rapid rate, and half of them don't even get to see 16.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, here's the thing, though, because every problem that you just mentioned as far as, you know, black people not having self-love, you know, black people disrespecting each other, all those type of things, everything points to racism, white supremacy. See, we have to understand the dynamic of the system. This is why I say it's important to study the system. The system
Listen, bro. Go ahead.
The system teaches everyone in the system, black, white, no matter what, it teaches everybody that black is bad, black is the worst, black are the criminals, black is this. It teaches everybody that. So whether you black, white, Chinese, Hispanic, whatever, you're taught through the school system, through the movies, the propaganda TV, the news, that black is bad. So naturally black people are going to feel... Exactly. We can get to that.
That is a solution.
However, we got to look at everything and put it into context. Like I said, they teach us that, and then we follow suit. So we think black is bad. We hate each other. We disrespectful to each other. We're dealing with a group that we're trying to get our humanity back. Remember, our humanity was stripped from us, and we was livestock. You dig what I'm saying?
Okay.
So when it comes to us buying Jordans and flashy things and rims and gold, we're doing that to compensate for a lack of self-esteem, for a lack of self-worth, and we're trying to prove that we're worth something. So when you got that type of mentality in a neighborhood with not a lot of resources, that's a recipe for disaster. Of course they're going to be going at it with the little resources that are available in that community. And to top it off, when you don't control the school system, you don't control majority of the businesses in that neighborhood, you're going to have problems and situations as we see. You see what I'm saying? So we got to look
yes,
at
sir.
The dynamic of why
yes, sir.
Black
I
people
see.
Act
exactly.
like that towards each other. You see what I'm saying?
It's yeah.
just because we're not in control of the curriculum and the teaching and the images and the narrative that we see of each other every day. You see what
okay,
I'm saying?
Bro,
like you said, coming to
see
y'all, which is good,
hey.
But
Hey, check it out. I ain't gonna try to stop you right there. I'm gonna teach you something real quick.
Go ahead.
The young lady that's on this radio station know me personally. Now, and she's gonna know this very well. At Roosevelt High School, bro, we set out of a history class and told them that they're gonna give us our Black History class, or we're not taking history in 1993. In 1993, we sat out and we sat in the hallway. We sat out there for hours and days. They brought us a history book. It was made out of Kente cloth. Do you know it taught our history? And we had a woman from Sodan High School. I forgot her name, but she taught history. And she brought that book and curriculum into the classroom and said, "Y'all did it." Nobody knows that, do they? Do you know that we really have books? We have plenty of books out there. We have plenty of literature. We have plenty of literature. And look, let me tell you something else. You see all them vacant buildings in our neighborhoods?
Mm-hmm.
You see all that property in our neighborhoods?
Yeah.
Okay, so who said you can't go and take that property and get all together and take that property and build a school for Black people? Who told you you can't do that?
Mm-hmm.
Who told you you can't go to one of them properties and take that property and build a Black supermarket like the one in Illinois?
It is what it is.
Right.
So what we are is we are an enemy. Go ahead.
I want to say something real fast because that's a good point. But here's my concern to that, because we've had a lot of discussions, and yes, to encourage to do this, like you said, you see a building, yes, encourage to do this. But my concern with that is just like with the voting discussion we had. Once it clicks and it becomes what we do, it's going to be sabotaged. But I'm not saying don't try and don't do it, though. But we have to also think ahead, because we have to learn, come up with strategies. And at some point, you just got to know that this is not the end all. You know, it's going to be another fight. You know, do that,
It's always going to be a fight. But when you say it's going to be like destroyed already, that's our mentality. So our mentality is, man, if I start that store, they're going to destroy it.
Yeah.
So
what?
No,
you got to fight.
I mean,
the community won't help me. So when I start business, the community won't help me. They won't come and visit me. They won't come to the store and support it. I'm gonna tell you one thing, and I'm gonna tell you a simple fact of life. The Bible said, if you build it, they will come. If you put it there, they'll come. It's how you portray your business. On the inside of it and on the outside of your business. So if you're one of those business owners that's got that business, but you're in the street, in the club, you're showing this, that, and the other different, of course it's going to be destroyed, because you're going to show it for what it is. But if you show passion and love
to
your own business,
it is what it is.
Somebody else is going to come in and show passion and love to their business as well. But see, it can't just be one business. It's got to be more. It's got to be a lot more. It's got to be a collab of different businesses.
And
you
also, when you said something about schools, because you know me, I always got to do my shout out to promote your Prep Academy, which is our African Center school that we have here in St. Louis. And also shout out to them for opening up their high school this year. So now, not only do they have the grade school, but now they're opening up the door to high school, so the kids can funnel into that.
Okay,
so
now, right? But now, let's say we on this radio station. We talking about it. It's being heard across this nation. It's being heard across YouTube and everything else, right? And I'm gonna be for real. Now is the time to challenge. And now it's the time to challenge our not even just the athletes. It's the time to challenge all the black people to support those schools, to start bringing their kids to those schools, to help fund them schools, and to help take care of those schools as well.
That's
if
right.
I walk past that school, I'm going to treat that school like I would treat the inside of a church or the outside of a church. I walk past that school and see some trash around there, I'm going to pick it up. It's all about how we receive what we have, man. We don't take care of what we have, man. And we don't support
Agreed.
What we have. And that's why
Agreed.
what she's saying is it's gonna be messed up because our people don't wanna support it. Now
mm-hmm.
who is gonna
right.
go into that school and
no, that's
talk
not why
about
I said
we...
that though.
Okay, but okay.
That's not why. I'll be clear, but go ahead and make your point.
Okay, when we go into the school, okay, they got different classrooms, they got different programs, they got different things that's put together, right? And what you do is this is how you complete this task of the school. You go in this school and you hold a course of your own in the school. Right? And you train the kids that's in the school at a younger age how to do business, who to market to, where your marketing program should be at in your community, how to take care of the community, and not just hollering and screaming at them, sitting in a desk, giving them paperwork, having that paperwork done. We got to make these schools, Us as black people, a lot of us as black people, we are visual learners.
Mm-hmm.
We learn from vision, what we see. So when you go
yeah.
in and you train these kids in how to, be a stylist, how to do music, how to sewing, stuff that they don't teach no more, sewing and stuff like that, home economics and stuff like that, man, it'll help. More, it'll help us better that way than when those kids graduate and go off to college. Now we need a black college that we can send them to in St. Louis,
yeah.
Missouri.
Yep.
Now,
you
send them to the grade school, you send them to the middle school, you send them to the high school
yep.
of a black school.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have to go to a black
Facts.
School in order to finish that thing off. And when they come out that black school, we need somebody holding their hand, starting a business with each student, and that's how you build your community out.
And what's so important about that, that builds, not only does that build self-esteem, but it builds self-respect as well. And when a community respects itself, you force other people to respect
to
you.
To respect
back.
It.
Yep.
Right.
Agreed.
Right.
If you just joined us, y'all, this Collective Minds Radio, we are discussing race, racism, the relationship between black and white. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Indeed, indeed. So, I was making some good points on that, and I definitely agree, because the thing is, the ball is in our court, and a lot of things that happen in our community, you know what I'm saying, we allow them to happen, and because we're not unified as we should be, you know, we're able to be infiltrated and sabotaged. But like I said, I think like Mufasa mentioned, things are getting better. I think black people are waking up. I think the consciousness is being aroused. We reported a couple of weeks ago that it was a 400% increase in black businesses over the last year. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that means a lot. You know, people are waking up. People are starting businesses to service their community. And we getting into the mentality where we're starting to support each other, because that's basically what it comes down to. Is we got to get rid of that self-hate mentality where we don't want to do business and deal with other black people. And like I said, that mentality has been taught to us by the white supremacists, in my opinion. And so when we talk about racism, like, because I think when we talk about racism, people just think it's just, oh, I hate another race. But like I said before, you still have to have that power dynamic in there. You have to have that. You have to add that in there. So just being racist and saying, "Oh, we go boycott the Arabs and not go to the Chinese," I don't think that's being racist.
It's gonna be an ego.
You know, you're simply just, you know, being smart about who you're spending your money with. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's necessarily racist. You know, so I just think, you know, that's all fine and dandy if black people want to boycott the other businesses that are in our neighborhood and just support black businesses. I don't think that's racist at all. You know.
And why I like having this dynamic with you, Brother K, because it's important. It's important to understand why we're in the shape we're in. And I get where you're coming from with that. You want us to understand why we are the way we are. And equally as important that when we understand why we the way we are, that we got to be moving and grooving to counteract that stuff too. So we got to have both of these things going on, understanding how we got to where we is, and then also knowing that we have the power within ourselves to change it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it. Because, we understand why we're in a situation, and I feel like, you know, we should understand how the system works, how it's maintained, what type of tactics they use to, you know, refine it, and just a lot of things that we can study about the system, which, again, would help us come up with ways and things that we can do to counteract the system. And the most important thing, which we talk about all the time, is unity. You know what I'm saying? We have to have a contingency or a group of black people that are unified and on code and moving. And once we get that small group, that typically, you know, if the energy is powerful enough, that'll pull other people into the mix. You know what I'm saying? Once we get that small, that group that's on code and moving, and we got the energy, everybody else will will follow suit. You know, so it's definitely important, like I said, because if we come up with the problems of the black community or the three major problems in the black community, you know, I could probably show y'all how it all goes back to white supremacy, in my opinion.
Right. And
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and this is one thing I want to add real fast before we bring in Minister Carlos, who's in the building with us. How you doing, Minister Carlos?
I'm here. How you doing? I'm good.
Okay, so let me say this real fast. Because what you just said, it is true, but even before that, it's going to, we already know, I always say it starts spiritually from within with each individual. Once the individuals know and get an understanding of what life is, well, you would be surprised at how many people that don't understand life.
Yeah.
Don't have no, they just know that they know that they're alive. But they don't understand it. They don't understand themselves. They don't understand that we have the ability to make so many changes. You know, everything that we do is so accidental. It's not conscious thinking. We just doing it, and it's we're not making conscious choices on the you know, on a spiritual level. But and I like to hear what Minister Carter got to say, because she saw the video too, right? And we had a discussion, or with her husband, right? We saw the video, and she had some good points, so I want her to share that with us.
Okay, hey, how y'all doing?
Oh, we doing good. How are you?
That's good, But what I want to say is, first, before I get into the video, I heard what everybody said, and I kind of agree. All y'all made some valid points. But this is just my opinion, and I feel like that, yes, it do stem back from white supremacy, but somebody spoke of how we're in an era now where us as blacks are learning. We getting it. We waking up.
Right.
And that's true. And what I think is, I think that we should come out. not forget it, but we got to look ahead and look forward to not focusing on the system. Because, and the reason why I say that is because the system is bondage. The system is traditional. The system is a religion. Once we get our mind wrapped around the system, then we can move forward. And when we move forward, it's all about representation. It's how you present yourself as an individual. Don't look at people collectively, because it starts with one. Everybody ain't going, we're not going to get everything done in one room all together. We all can't, we can sing together. We can. But some of us have different keys and some of us move singing different notes. We have to find out who we are as an individual. And then as it relates, as for me, because I'm strictly kingdom, it's the kingdom of God with me. So I have a different view and a different outlook, and I don't want to take us to church, but I can. But I have a different outlook because with my spirituality and my religion, I'm taught high self-esteem, and which they call it pride, but I don't call it pride. I just know who I am. You got to know who you are. And we live in an hour that it's a play on words. They come up with new words, new ideas, and we exactly because we're hungry because of the way we were treated, we grab at it, and that's how we lean towards the white man. But what we got to realize is when we were created, God said, he created us, he said, let them have dominion. If we just knew we had power and authority and dominion, the system can kiss bye-bye. Because there's no system when you walk in the power and authority of with Jesus Christ. There's no system when you walk in power and authority and you know who you are. And that's where we fail at as a black people, not educated. I ain't talking about books. I'm talking about not educated enough, spending enough a long time to meditate. Because can't nobody teach you to be you. You have to meditate on that thing. You have to spend some quality time by yourself to understand who you are. And if we could get that in our minds as a black race, it doesn't matter if you Chinese, Arab, I don't care what race you are. You're not superior to me. You can call racism a word, but I just believe that I am superior in who God created me.
I don't agree with
that white people treat blacks better. I think that was a learned mentality because, and I'm not going to stay long because I know we've talked about this a long time, but I'm going to just make this point. I believe that with that video, that with what he was saying, he had some good points. I agree with a lot of that, but what stuck out to me was the clone, and like when he talked about how the clone was created and us treating, white people treating us better. Now, I believe that we, and he said something about we run to the other side or we run and get white mates and all that. I believe that some of us do that because we, as a black people, are challenged. And I'm not going to say it's hard, but the way people treat us is really bad. And sometimes we have some weak black people that just can't stand the heat. So they run to the white people because, get this, y'all, is made to look like they treat us better.
It is what white
people see when they look at us. They see dollar signs. Because guess what? We creative, and we know, even if we don't say the Bible, black people are creative. If you go back in history and see y'all, Abraham Lincoln, y'all, he was a black man. It was eight black presidents before, just watch eight of them. Before, what was his name? John Hester. He's the one who taught us and established the Constitution, and because he didn't want to be in the forefront, he gave it to George Washington. So we just don't know who we are. And I'm telling y'all, we creative. We have invented a lot of this stuff. And you go back into the Roman times, we created these roads, these pavements. If you read your Bible, and because when you read your Bible, you don't just have to incorporate the Bible. I don't. I read other Bibles, other religions, because I need to know. But if you go back, y'all, we created this stuff. And we allowed, because of manipulation and deception to creep in, we allowed him to scratch something that was already ours. So I just think that in this hour, y'all, we need a better representation of who we are. And I'm not just saying being saved. I'm just saying period. We need to represent ourselves better. We need to present ourselves better. And then we open up the black business like y'all were saying, some of y'all were saying before. People won't run from our business. Let me tell y'all something. When I go in a black store, and I ain't trying to be funny, a lot of times in our neighborhood, it's never enough stuff. When I walk in these stores down on St. Louis Avenue, a black store came in that community, opened up, brand new store. I went in to get a loaf of bread. They did not have it. Why? Because this is what they do, y'all. Now, this is where the system come in at. This is where the system come in right here. Not all that other stuff, because I'm going to tell you, they crazy. But the system come in, and I bet you they couldn't get a loan like some of these stores get, or get some backing or some
financial
support.
It is what it is.
Like other stores get. So I watched this lady blow in her groceries, bringing her stuff in from Sam. So she had to take her own resources and buy stuff for her store. Now, get this. When we go in there, ain't no bread. You know what we say? See, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I don't go there. We ain't never got nothing. Or ooh, that's why I don't support black people. Because, look, and then on top of that, they ain't got no bread, but now they talking to you bad. The people behind the counter, they talking to you crazy because, guess what, y'all? They agitated or frustrated because I couldn't really get the loan to do for my people what I set out to do. Because when I wrote this vision, probably when they wrote the vision, they wanted to be in a neighborhood to help bring the community up and create jobs. But because the white man saw a way, or either the system, as we call it, saw a way for them to put their foot on our neck to monitor and control us, I didn't give her what she needs. So now she don't have the stuff. So now we get ready to go to Family Dollar, or we're going to go to a store. We're going to go to Snook because we think a white man on it, or, we, you know, it's better. I'm going to go to Snook because they have everything. But, see, that's where the system come in at. When it's time for us to build these businesses, build these schools, they find some kind of way to creep in to put their foot on our neck. But if we just get a clue about who we are and get a clue about how to work around this system or work around these people, I guarantee you our business won't fail. And we'll have more black people loving and support. That's where the love and the support is going to come in, because now we're agitated. We can't let
them
know.
It is what it is.
So that's
where
I'm at, y'all, with that.
Indeed. We appreciate that, Carla. You dropped some jewels on us. And I definitely agree. Yeah, and I wanted to touch on a part where you said that we need to know who we are, because I think that is very key, that we don't, as a group, know who we are. And the problem is we're letting them define who we are. Like, they shape the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, they control our intellectual properties. We're creative.
Mm-hmm.
We create these things through music or fashion.
Yep.
And it's other people controlling that dynamic. And also the images we see on TV of ourselves and of other people, those are controlled by the system, and, you know, as well. So they make us look bad, and then we fall into the trap of believing what we're seeing and the images they're put out. We start to internalize those things and think we are criminals and we bad and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem, is we're not controlling the narrative. But I think that's switching because we have these different outlets when it comes to social media and YouTube and different things. Well, we can tell our own story. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to watch the mainstream news and watch these movies. We can actually create our own movies, put them up on YouTube, put them online or whatever. That way we can control the narrative and tell our story and show us in a better light. You know what I'm saying? Show us in a more favorable light, where we can build our kids' self-esteem when they watch, you know, cartoons. We can make black cartoons. Just little things like that go a long way. And building your self-esteem, building your self-awareness to where you're confident and you respect yourself first and foremost. And like Brother Mufasa said, then you make other people respect you because you respect yourself.
Yep.
So,
but
you know,
let me
I
make
think
this
that's
point.
Very important.
Can I make
Go ahead.
This point real quick, y'all, and I'm going to get off. But the Bible talks about, it say you need to be sly as a snake and cunning and smooth as a dove. Right? So in this hour, y'all, even I ain't just talking about in the church, all of us, we got to be so slick because they monitor and watch our every move. And what they haven't realized is how much knowledge that we have gained or that we have, and they have not realized how much we have come up in business, how many black people that are that really have money, have a lot of money, or have I would say large bank accounts based off the small businesses that they doing out of their homes. So they ain't really, they picked up on it, but they ain't really picked up because we coming up in those areas. And instead, we have to come up in a small business way, but we are, and we have to be cunning and not let them know our every move. And something you said, the television, cut it off. We got, it's certain
cut
stuff
it off,
that we don't even let our kids look at. And it's certain images of the news we ain't even looking at, because if you get that image in your head, that's who you become. You if you think it, you going to be it. Telling you. So we got to change, we got to just change and rediscover who we are in this hour, and we got to change the way we do things. We got to be real strategic because of the white man
it
and the
is
white
what it is.
And who we have in leadership right now.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, let me say something. Yeah, because cutting off the TV and things like that, I just want to add something too real fast before we take another call. Thanks for calling in, caller, though. Now, I know we have suffered so much, you know. Nobody's looking forward to suffering. What it ultimately end up meaning is that we're going to have to sacrifice and go without. Like the point real quick that you made about the going to the store, they didn't have the bread. Well, we can either choose to say, you know what, let me try to, is it what you need to get the bread? Let me offer that, you know, maybe I can help you get the bread. What is it that you need? Or say, well, I'm going to do without. We don't want to suffer. So, and I get that. So let's go to the call lines real fast. Let's take area code 314-448. Caller, you have a question or comment?
This is in connection to the video about could we end systematic racism? The premise, I think it would help. It definitely would help if black people and white people got to know each other better, no question. But as far as white people treating me better than black people, I think when you having discussions like this, you kind of, it's real vague. You know, people, like, first off, we use things like the system and the people and the white man and the black man. Like, that's too vague because if you put it in context, every single, you know, black person like this, every single white person like that, every single, you know, it's too vague. It's hard to solve anything when it's real vague. You want to narrow down a point when you're trying to solve something. So if I'm just looking at my life, you know what I'm saying? I can't judge, you know, the next person's life. If I'm looking at my life, white people have treated me a certain way, and black people have treated me a certain way. For example, I would feel a lot different walking in North City at night than I would walking in Clayton at night. For whatever reason, I'm sure there's a ton of reasons why you could say why I would feel that way. But I can't deny the fact that I would feel different.
That's how you feel. Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's due to the fact to my experiences with black people versus white people. So, I mean, if I'm just looking at my life, I might be able to reason the fact that I've been treated a little bit better by certain people, but I don't hang around white people that much. You know what I'm saying? But anywho, I think you can answer it for your individual self, but I don't know if we can say as a whole, all black people are treated better, you know, by white people than they are by black people. It's hard to answer things like that. I just think, you know, some stuff is a little too vague, you know what I'm saying, and we need to be a little bit more focused when we're talking about these
types of things. Well, you answered it a good way. You know, your answer, answered it, you addressed it. It was a good way because that's true. You only spoke your truth, which is true. And each individual, which I said that earlier too, individually, it does have the ability to have some sort of an impact or a change. But, you know, as a whole, no, everybody is different. So I totally agree with you on that, caller.
Right,
thanks for calling in.
Let's
take caller area code 818-358. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
I do. Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, and I've been listening online, and I love the healthy conversation I want to bring to the forefront. What we're doing right now is we're making this history. What I mean by that is, first, we have to start talking about it and get out of our own minds. Sometimes we carry around so many negative things because energy is in everything. No matter what you want, it's like when you want your kids to clean your room, and then you tell them, hey, clean your room, and they say the word what, and that word just has so much energy behind it. Whether it's a good what or a bad what, when you say that word, it just instantly gives off energy. When your kids say that,
right,
you give it right back. Now, if you take a bat and a ball, and when you put those two things together, they give their energy back and they go the opposite way. Now, if you got a hold of the bat stays in your hand, the ball goes over the park, and now that's baseball. But the thing that I'm saying is my winning team, you know, I put it out there. This is a healthy topic, and if we don't start talking about it, we can't bring forth change. A lot of times we don't plan to fail. We fail to plan, and a lot of people, it's too many Indians and not enough chiefs. The people who have the resources and the knowledge, they don't share the wisdom. And we have healthy topics like this, and we say we're about to do something positive, you can't get nobody to show up. But if you say, hey, we're about to talk about this MGK disc and this Machine Gun Kelly stuff,
Eminem,
everybody,
right, yeah,
is, man, your lines are flooded. So the point that I'm making is, somebody like us, we're taking the lead and we're making history. This is the new time capsule. Back in the days in the 50s and 60s, they would bury the stuff in the earth, and then when they had a 20-year and a 10-year high school reunions, they'll go back up and dig it up. But now everything is put out there on the Wi-Fi, and we digest information at 280 characters every 15 seconds. And since we've been talking right now, I've gotten text messages. My wife been handing me some stuff. Somebody been sent me something on Facebook. I got like 50 emails. And all this stuff is going on simultaneously. So I say that we have five senses. That's why God gave us the power to have five revenue streams. And revenue and resources, not always cash. If we get into passing the wisdom down, you might not have the money, but if you have the knowledge, you can always make the money. You might go through a bell curve. That's how the simple economics is. You have your peaks and valleys, but no matter what goes on, out of a 30-day cycle, you should be eating for 28 days. It's going to be a bad day. It's going to rain, but no matter what, even if you Kobe Bryant, you're going to miss a shot. So I just I believe that these kind of conversations are healthy. No matter what you believe in, it's good to put it out there because you don't know who's on the other end, and nobody can say your opinion is right or wrong, because eat the meat, throw away the bone. Whatever you can use for wisdom, pass it on, share it, and it doesn't become wisdom until it's shared and it's applied. Just because you hear it, if you hear a lot of great wisdom and you never apply it, that's just wasted wisdom. So I'm stepping out the way once again. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I really appreciate the platform, brother. Keep doing your thing. Creative Minds Radio. Just, y'all were hard today. Shout out, salute to my sister.
We appreciate you.
Yes, thanks so much, Colin. He said, it will rain. That is true. Rain make the flowers grow. Let's go to the call lines. Area code 707-310. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Well, I just want to add to the fact that I appreciate everything you guys are doing. You guys are doing an excellent job. And also, you have to be physically fit. You have to be healthy in order to be mentally, spiritually, physically. All that
wealth,
all the money, all the success, all the fame is nothing if you're on an oxygen tank laying up in the bed. Brother from Apple
had
all the money in the world when he died, and all he needed was a liver. All that money couldn't even buy him a liver.
And
he graduated with, and he graduated to the next life with all that money. So the good Lord says to keep your temple, take care of your temple. Now, what's that in the side of your head? Ain't it on the side of your head, the temple?
The temple, yes, sir.
That little indent, that indent is happens to be directly with the brain and the mind.
Yes, sir.
Strong
your
mind.
Health is your wealth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Your
that's key.
Yes, sir.
Because
it is what it is.
Always. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So just stay, keep doing what you guys are doing. You guys are doing an excellent job. I appreciate it. Out there, keep, stay off the radar, though, because, you know, you got to stay off the radar as you do your success. And have a beautiful day.
Indeed. You too.
Yeah,
you do the same.
Thanks
you,
Colin. So much, Colin.
Now,
yeah, I appreciate that.
I want to get something in real quick. Yeah, before we get to the next caller, just real quick, I want to address something. The caller previous was like the terms were vague, and we probably need to narrow some down. So just for clarity and for my position, when I talk about the system, I talk about the system of racism, white supremacy, which for me is defined as a system controlled by people who are classified as white to dominate, mistreat, control resources from everyone who they say is not white. So I'm going to repeat that again. The system of racism, white supremacy is a system controlled by people who are classified as white to dominate, mistreat, and control resources of everyone who they say is not white. And that is done through nine areas of people activity. You got economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, and sex. And those areas should cover any type of human activity that goes on. And they, from my opinion, from my research, control all of those areas. But I feel like the more we learn, we can dissect the system and come up with codes and ways to counter this particular system. And I got that from Millie Fuller's Jr.'s book, The United Independent Compensatory Code System and Concept. So go ahead. I just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the phone lines. Get another call. I know we're winding it down. But and before we get too close to the end, we cannot not bring up another example of this system we're talking about, which is the shooting and the incident that took place in Texas. We cannot leave
in
that
Dallas,
out of this conversation.
Yes,
let's take,
yes,
let's
yes,
take the call, 314-616. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Peace. White supremacy.
Hey, caller.
Peace, caller.
I'm chiming in, so I'm a little confused. Maybe I got misinformed on what the topic was.
We're talking about a few different things. Basically, everything that has to do with racism. We're talking about the relationship between black and whites. Do you feel like racism could be solved if we just got to know each other? We're also talking about a video where a black guy said that he gets treated better by white people than black people. We're also talking about the shooting in Dallas. So whichever topic you want to go in
Let us hear. I try to make it brief since we're kind of coming at a halt. And long story short, problems cannot be resolved because we've already tried that. You know, we've been in the covert war for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years, if you want to talk about like the Arab slave trade. And you're dealing with the nation of the people that have been studying your mind since they've captured you, you know. And like Brother Kev said, when they're systematically controlling everything that involves life, whether it be education, law, medicine, everything. So everything that you try to perceive has to come from them. You know, as far as the relationship, there can be no equality or how you want to put it until you put this beast in the ass. And I really love what the president over in South Africa, Julia Malema, is doing. I mean, pretty much he's saying that he wants to continue what Gaddafi started. And that Africa needs to be a united country. And because of the colonization, we have separated ourselves and forgotten who we are.
Yep.
And, you know, whether you're in the Caribbean, the UK, the United States, or whatever, we are subject and suffering under the same oppression. As it relates to the incident in Dallas, I've kind of exhausted my energy even into responding to the information. But since we're bringing it up, I mean, we know what's going to happen. We're going to get out there and we're going to march. And we've been marching for 50, 60 years, and it's been good exercise. We lost no weight, you know. But you know, moving forward, until we get that militant mind, until we have a military that's going to protect us, that's the only thing, because the white supremacy is controlled by the dollar and the gun. You take those away, and you have nothing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Indeed.
So
thanks for the call.
You know, I even thought that, you know, even with him, the whole idea that he had marijuana in his apartment, you know, so what? You know, who's to say that you didn't plant it there or whatever it is? What you're pretty much doing is you're deterring the story from the facts. A man was killed inside his home for being black. Period.
Right. Right. And yeah. Period. And now this, like I said, this, if they set a precedent with this, I mean, it's going to be like basically they can walk into your house and kill you with impunity.
Well, I mean,
you see?
We saw that, you know, briefly with Tariq Nasheed, where they went in his house based on an insinuation that you got in the letter call or whatever. So they're telling you that there is no law that you're covered by.
Fact.
Like,
right.
It's a law of the land. Because
it's
the
law of
the
land.
I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And, you know, regardless of what your rights are, those are thrown out the window up under my suspicion.
Right. Yep. That's right. Now, see, and that's the thing, because what is going to protect black people is us working together in a unified code where we can counter the system. That's the only thing that's going to help. We have to work together like the bees and the ants do, because you get one bee by itself, it's pretty worthless by itself. It's not doing too much. But when they come together, they can make honey and they can get things done. And that's what we have to be. We don't have to agree. We don't have to have the same religion, the same guy. We don't have to have none of that. Only thing we need to do is get on code and understand that there is a covert war being waged on us, and we can counter, you know, through our speech, action, and behavior. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it's going to come down to when it comes to dismantling this system. And like I said, under the system, there's no way as a group that white people treat black people better than other black people. That's just systematically impossible, based on how black people are controlled and being funneled and being educated.
It is what it is.
You know. Let me chime in real quick about the treat. Now, I will say this also. You too. In my life, I've been treated better by white people collectively than blacks. But I understand why. Because with a person like myself, you're dealing with a multiplicity of things. You're dealing with a person that's light-skinned and looks kind of mixed. So you're dealing with that, you know, psychological thing, like, oh, he thinks he's better than us. And then systematically, we have been engineered like crabs in a bucket to work against our own best interest. So
there you go.
I had posted something on Facebook today, and I said, you know, most black people don't want liberation. We want to live comfortably in white supremacy and do better than other black folks. So I think that most black people look at their situation, and if they're doing better than you, then, you know, their treatment towards you may be a certain way, but when you're doing better than them and the things you're doing are not helping them per se directly, they may take issue with that. But they had the same opportunities that you had, but they went a different direction. So I think that, you know, the treatment that I've received toward my own race has been an engineered thing, and I understand that, and I don't get mad.
Right.
I just get mad at us when, despite the fact that we're being treated badly by them, we still tend to treat them better. And not just them, the Asians, the Arabs, any group of people that are collecting our finances and we're giving our wealth to.
Yep, there you go. There you go. Indeed,
yeah,
caller. Appreciate
it. Caller.
Appreciate it. We got about 7 minutes left to the live stream.
Okay.
You want to get some more callers?
314, this may have to be our last caller. 314-769, caller, you have a question or a comment? Area code 314.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Hi, I'm sorry, I just tuned in. This is Poppy Wright, and I just got the just saw the text.
Okay.
Let me say hello to everyone. And
hey, how you doing?
How you doing? Hey.
Hey.
Hey,
thank you all for your support during the race. Also, I really appreciate you allowing me to interview on your radio.
No problem. Yeah, so did you have a question or a comment?
I know. What was the subject? I just tuned in. Is the subject on racism would be better? What was the subject?
Brother Kevin, you're going to explain.
Yes. Yeah, the subject today is basically we're just talking about racism. Do you think the problem of racism can be solved if black and white people just get to know each other? And we also touched on a gentleman made a video, a black gentleman made a video saying that he's been treated better by white people than he has by black people. And so you can comment on either our story or both.
Okay. Well, in reference to being treated better by white people than he has black people, my thing is, like, for instance, you know, I work hard in the black community. A lot of blacks have done a lot of things as far as, like, breaking into my building. Here I'm making all kind of damn I have to try to put up an arts center, to put up a community center, to put up a missing person center, to put up a homeless center. And it's not the white people coming down in the hood stealing from me and breaking in my building. It's our brothers and sisters. So, but that doesn't say, you know, when I hire different contractors, whether they're black, white, Mexican, whatever, all of them jack me around. So when somebody make a comment and say they're treated better by white people than they are black, and they're black and they make this comment, first thing they got to ask themselves, are you around more black than white? If you're around more blacks, and you're,
right,
you know,
naturally.
Then,
yeah.
You know, so that's what we have to weigh out, you know.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I'm around more
it
black
is
people.
It is what it is.
More black people than screw me over. Because I'm around more black people. White people haven't had that opportunity, you know, as much.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But, see, I love all people, and I believe it's one race, and that's called the human race. However, we hands down, we know that whites do have privileges. And the thing is that when we say, well, white people have done this and done that, they screw us in a different way. And I'm just going to call it state of state, you know. Black people may break into your building, but the white people are the ones that take it because they have their stuff set up generations and generations. We don't have our stuff laid out for the next five generations, you know.
Right,
we struggle,
right.
And then our kids struggle, and our grandkids struggle, and it's so forth, right? So
exactly.
We have to set our people up for generations to come to be, you know, set. And so,
that's right.
we're not going to put no other race on a pedestal and say, oh, well, you know, you got good and bad in every race. I've been effed by all of them, you know. But you know, that's not going to stop me from keep fighting for my people and the poor people and the working people. Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. Indeed.
It is what it is.
Definitely. I definitely get it. You made some good points, Carla.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in so much. We appreciate you.
Yes.
We appreciate all our
it.
Callers
thank
and our supporters. We appreciate.
Just call a coffee, right? Thank you. So we got about 3 minutes left to the live stream. I did want to read something real quick. I don't know if people know this, but in the 1900s, black people were actually in some zoos in America. There was a black person in a Brooklyn Zoo, and then for the St. Louis World's Fair, they had black people on display as well. So I just wanted to read this little excerpt real quick. This is about a missionary explorer named Samuel Phillips Verner, and I'm reading out of the medical apartheid book by Harriet Washington. And it says, the last expedition was commissioned in 1903 by the St. Louis Exposition Company, which paid the South Carolina-born Verner to hunt men instead of monkeys. He was to bring African pygmies to America for display at the St. Louis World's Fair. So I don't know if y'all understand. Like, I read that just to make a point that there's been a long history in this country and recent history of black people being on display, treated like animals, treated like pets, and that goes into the whole narrative of racism that we've been talking about. So all that to say, a lot of the history is documented, and the answers to our problems and to the questions that we may have or is in some of this literature. If we would just take the time to study the system, again, the system of racism, white supremacy, we can figure out how to solve this problem and put ourselves in a better position. You dig what I'm saying? And also, like the caller said, it does start with self and actually getting to know who we are, because as of this point, as a group, we've been knocked over the head and we've forgotten all who we are. You know, we're trying to get it back. We're trying to, you know, get our self-worth back, our self-esteem back as we go. But I just wanted to put that out there because there's a lot of information that we're just not privy to.
That
has been
Collective Minds.
Calling
Thank
in.
Thank you,
week.
Y'all.
Great job. Follow us on Facebook.
Stand on your square. We on the curve. We about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's owning or a new point. Calling with your new point. Prepared to our collective. A colorful perspective. The brothers. Word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things. Dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the people?